منزل تیری قبر ہے, تیرے کر رہا ہے جو تو دو دن کا یہ سفر ہے.
مرکز صحابہ, the voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawt Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah in Durban, South Africa, on this beautiful day, the 4th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 27th of September, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have been on air for the last hour and we discussed the Jews in the light of the Holy Quran. Thereafter, we had our DIY program, and today with our DIY, we also had something about gardening. We will now, inshallah, cross over to our brother Ahmad Parak, Hafizahullah, who was an ex-counselor and also quite involved in the kafan and dafan of the Muslim community. And this would go on, inshallah, until 8:30. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Molana.
Now, do we have any new developments regarding the kafan and the dafan?
Molana, I think we were in a park. Dafan and kafan to the 12th, not next week, the following week, because there's a lot of community have been asking me to give us a full breakdown in terms of kafan and dafan, old age home, and all what is happening around in the country as well as in this our province. People are suicide, people are putting the parents in old age home. He said, give us a full in-depth. So I said, I'm going to speak to Maulana, and on the 12th, we'll have a full program only on that subject of dafan and kafan and what is happening around in our province as well as the country. So we'll part today's off and I'll put something together, Maulana, on the 12th. Not next week, we've got Professor Abdul Qadir with us next week, so we'll share it next week. But the following week, inshallah, then we will be able to do a full program only on dafan and kafan, Molana, if that is okay with you, Molana.
Yeah, that's no problem. But I know I was supposed to do some homework for you because of those issues about burying people who have committed suicide on the edge of the cemetery. Now, I have done some homework. What I would do is, you know, I've looked at this, besides the books, to make things short, we go to website. So there's an Arabic website, Islam Web, but I'm not going to quote them. I'd rather quote the Jamiat KZN on, you know, what they have to say about this. Now, there are a hadith, like in one hadith we read that a man who was injured killed himself. And when he killed himself, Allahu Azza wa Jalla said, my servant has hastened his death, so I am going to make Jannah haram for me, for him, right? And then in another hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alladhi yakhluq nafsa yakhluquha fin nar, walladhi yat'anuha yat'anuha fin nar. And in this hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who, you know, suffocates himself to death, he will go on doing this act in the fire. You know, meaning he's going to be in the fire forever. Now, of course, that is just a literal translation. But as we know, a believer in the Shahada, he eventually comes out. But this is to emphasize the severity of the sin of committing suicide. So in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, he who stabs himself to death, he will go on stabbing himself in the fire. So besides this hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is yet another hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man taradda min jabalin faqatala nafsihi فَهُوَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ يَتَرَدَّى فِيهِ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا عَبَدًا. In this hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who throws himself from a cliff or a mountain, he will be in the fire of Jahannam, throwing himself continuously forever and ever. And he goes on to say, whosoever takes poison to kill himself, you know, he will go on taking poison in Jahannam forever and ever. Whosoever kills himself with a, you know, iron object, heavy object, sharp object, in Jahannam he will go on doing this, you know, forever and ever. So, you know, all these ahadith, although there is that mention khalidan mukhalladan, meaning forever and ever eternally, the ulama are clear that what it really means is he will be in Jahannam for a very, very long time. You know, it doesn't mean like the way the disbelievers would be there eternally. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refrained from offering the Salatul Janaza for one who had committed suicide as a punishment to him, and so as to deter others from doing what he had done. But he gave the people permission to offer the Salatul Janaza for him. So it is sunnah for the people of knowledge and virtue not to offer the Salatul Janaza for one who has committed suicide, like the Imam of the Masjid and other people who are known to be pious in the community. It would be sunnah for them not to perform that person's Janaza Salah. You know, anyone else from the community could perform that person's Janaza Salah. Now, this does not mean if it is proven that one did commit suicide, that you should not pray for mercy and forgiveness for him or her. Rather, you must do that because he needs that. Suicide is not kufr that puts a person out of the pale of Islam, as some people think. Rather, it is a major sin that is subject to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of resurrection. If he wills, he will forgive it. If he wills, he will, you know, deal out some punishment for it. So do not neglect to make dua for a person who has committed suicide. And be sincere in doing so. Perhaps that may be the means of forgiveness. Now, as we observe, there was nothing mentioned that a person must be buried at the edge of the cemetery. The only thing that is mentioned here, that the pious people of the community and the imam should not lead the Salatul Janaza. Any other member of the community may do so. And it is not haram to make dua for a person who has committed suicide. So that is, you know, my homework that I was supposed to do for you.
Jazakallah, Maulana, we got a very, very good clarity on that. You have really did a proper research, so the community now understand exactly. Because the question was arising, do what happens? You have to bury on the outskirts. Now you have just outlined the actual masla and from the authentic hadiths that you have followed up, and you have given us a fully fledged answer on this, so it will put it to rest as well. I will send the broadcast as well today, so that they were waiting for this outcome of this Q&A regarding the suicide. And today, inshallah, we will be able to send it through to all our WhatsApp group, inshallah.
Inshallah. Now, coming to our political segment, we know that there's a request for 77.9 million rand by our city for, I think it's refurbishing the sewage system. Now, there is an article on the Independent Online. Now, considering this article is very vague, it just mentions to finish major sewer pipe rehab projects. Do citizens have a right to request a detailed breakdown of what exactly will this 77.9 million be spent on? Which specific suburbs and projects? What are the timelines for completion?
Ji Molana, firstly, the citizen, as well as if you are a taxpayer and you are paying your rates to the municipality, we are duty bound to ask for whatever question we want via the speaker's office or the city manager's office. They will have to, within 7 days, to give you a complete detail of the 77.9 million, how it's going to be spent. So that's not an issue. The issue is the 77.9 million. Yes, when I was in council, this was already budgeted in the 2025-26 year, which means from the 1st of July right up to the end of June next year, the 77.9 million has been already allocated to upgrade all the infrastructure far as the sewage is concerned. And that will be done. Now, one thing I have seen, and I've been through some of these pump stations, yes, they have realized that these pump stations do need major work to be done. Now, to get this work up and running, you need a fully fledged team, and now they have also got engineers from overseas to assist them to make sure that whatever money they are spending, it is going in the right area. But the problem that we are faced is the 77.9 million, we want to be running short of that, because once you start digging and then when you find out this whole problem with this raw sewer is damaged very, very badly after the 2022 floods, and now how we will sort this thing out? They have only budgeted to 77.9, so they want to bring outside monies, and they will bring in terms of granting aid to top it up. And if you see, if you read that article where the mayor is saying they want to spend up to a billion rand in getting the blockage improved, and it will be updated. The time frame, as you asked, Molana, whether it's going to be done in the next 6 months, it will be next year or the end of 27, because it's major. You've got like 10 big stations, when I mean very big station, pump house, that it has to be done. And then on that issue, you won't be able to get 100%. You'll only qualify about 65%. Then you have a gray area of about 35%. That 35%, now you will ask the question, where is that 35% Rosu is going to go? So they have got a plan B, what they're going to do. So when they're building the big ones and refurbishing them, at the same time, the smaller ones that was redundant over many years was not working, they're refurbishing them to bring it online. That will suffice for the 35% that will make up the balance of the raw seed to make it to 100%. But it's a long drawn work construction that is going to be taking place, and the work has already started. That's the most important thing. Things are starting to happen. If you see all over, the roads are getting done, electricity is getting restored. There will be like a million householders will be getting electricity where they were not getting previously. So all that is starting to happen. But the very, very big problem, not only the municipalities in the country, but the country itself, when you're owing like 3 to 4 trillion rand internationally that you have taken loan, you can't service your interest. That is where our problem is. So we are saying, if national government has to give grant and aid, where the grant and aid was supposed to be 10 million or 20 million, they want to cut it down to a smaller figure. So that's where we want to be running short. But the problem that we face here in Durban, when you got a debt of 40 billion, and of that 40 billion, you can say you'll only recover 20 billion, the other 20 billion you'll have to write it off. There's no way, anyway, that you'll be able to recover that 20 billion of that debt that is gone, because they were taking in all the townships. The townships are not paying electricity, they're not paying water, they're not paying for the raw sewer and all. That is our biggest problem. Now, they have now come up with the whole entire city treasury department. They're at ICC at the moment, and they are studying the new system that they have already installed for the last week. And in fact, until next week, they will be there, and all the team leaders are learning how to use that. And you know who built this the system? Malana, you'll be shocked. It's an Indian company that is here for the last about a year. When I was in council, I met one or two of them as well. And they are here putting that system together. And now they're teaching our people here how to run that system. So that system will pick up, and then you want to get your smart meters that will be able to pick up most of the thing. And eventually what's going to happen, by 2027, you won't get any meter readers coming to your house and taking the meters and all that. So now they have got a team. They're going door to door. Wherever there's meters are very old, they're going to replace those meters. They will, when the smart meters come, they want to put your smart meters. They are verifying in your block how many flats are there, in your house, how many meters are there. Everything they're verifying. So that's what we're doing at the moment. By the time all these guys have been fully trained, all this thing will be locked onto our system, and it will make it much more easier. And also, by getting all the information right, your rates and taxes will come down in the next year or so, once they finalize, because they have overcharged in some, most of the things, overvalued your property. So that's where the problem is for us.
That is really good news. Now, I was going to ask you this question, but you did answer it. With your experience in council, how do you think this 77.9 million will be funded? Will it come from existing municipal funds, meaning they're going to, you know, cut out the budget for other departments, a loan, which means they're going to increase the debt of the city, or a grant from national government, which is taxpayers' money?
Chimolana, the 77.9 million, we don't have to worry. That is already allocated in our 65 billion when we get every year from the 1st of July right to the 30th of June next year. So the 77 is already budgeted. But there won't be a shortfall. We know that. There's no two ways about it. After the flood and everything, even you can get the best of the engineers, like you building a house, you get your engineer, you get your architect. Only when they start building the house, then you will come and say, you know, I'm not happy with this. This is not fitting in how my wife wants it or whatever it is. So that's where the problem comes in. Because sometimes when the engineer can be, they've got engineers from Germany at the moment assisting them in this especially this underground water system and everything else. But you still find, because of the flood has come and damaged it so badly, and also for the last 15 years, these pipes were not serviced, and these are old asbestos pipes. So there's a lot of work has to be done. Now they put in plastic pipes, it's easier to work and it's faster to maintain and easier to change and all that. So that's where we have now realized that this system that we have running at the moment is going to give in any time. So as it is giving up. So what they are doing is, first they're fixing all the pump houses. Once the pump houses have been sorted out, then they want to start changing your asbestos pipe into plastic pipes. They will start digging area by area, and they will start putting those pipes in. So eventually, your system will be much better. But the big question is going to be, when this system is up and running, and if they're not going to service, it is going to happen like what is happening now. So that is our biggest challenges we want to have.
Yeah, as you were saying, that it's definitely going to increase, because something else that has to be taken into account, you know, this I learned from builders, that if you, you know, get your quotes, say, now, but you're actually going to start your building in even a month, because, you know, the price of building products go up weekly, basically, then definitely if you got your quote now, and you're only going to start after a month, that prices are going to go up.
But Malana, in this case here, once a contractor signs a proper agreement, that's how we normally do it. In fact, I'm putting up a massive cemetery in the other side of Amtrinto for a, you know, I'm consulting. And when we sign a contract is a contract. Whether the prices go up, he has to. That's why they have variance in the quotation for 10%, so that variance is already added into the contract. So whichever, if the price will go up, down or anything, so he's covered, the contractor is covered, the municipality is covered, in terms of even if he goes 6 months later or a year later, he is already covered because of that. That's how it normally works for us.
Now, based on your knowledge about how the municipality works, what does 89% of blockages attended to within 24 hours really mean? Does attended to mean a team was dispatched to look, or that the blockage was actually cleared? What is the average time to resolve a blockage?
Yeah, Malala, in that question, you've got two questions. Number one is, whenever there's a blockage, immediately an inspector is being sent out. He will come and assess the blockage. And once he has done the assessment, the biggest other problem that we are facing with at the moment is we don't have enough PLVs. Now, when it comes to underground, you can't dig it up, because once you break the tar, by the time you start digging and all, you'll take them 2 days to dig that hole. So that's why we wait for TLB. Sometimes you wait for 4 hours, sometimes you wait for 6 hours. And that's why they say within 24 hours that the blockage will be sorted out. Now what they do is, when the inspector comes, then he will decide whether we need a TLB and what has to be done. Then he sends a team with a jetting machine. Now, jetting machine is very, very high powered pressure machine. It normally cleaned it up within a couple of hours, and it's opened up. Once that is opened up, then there's a free flow of water and everything is running. So that's how we are talking about in terms of within 24 hours that blockage will be sorted out. And they're writing that. I've seen it over and over, that this is how they operate and they inspect. But the important thing is the inspector, the quicker it comes, the better it is. Then he can start putting the system in place to get that thing opened up as possible.
Now, that article on the IOL states, pump stations are being vandalized. What specific tangible steps can be taken to secure them? Is it just repairs, or are there plans for better fencing, security patrols, or community monitoring? Because this is a recurring cost that need a permanent solution.
Manala, what they have done in most pump stations, they have CCTV camera, number one, and all our pump station is fully barricaded now with proper block walls and proper fencing with a 24-hour security guard, because you can't afford to spend that type of money in each power pump station. You're spending 120 million, 80 million, 70 million. So, you know, these guys come in for copper, they come and take everything away and be back to square one. But I've seen, like, when I was in the Sikalik one, they have fenced it up. You can't even go there. Even if you go in close there, you have to fill in. There's a, you know, me, as a, when I was a counselor, I have to fill in, show them my card. They take my card number, everything, take a photo of that card, take a photo of my vehicle, then only you are allowed to go inside. So they have tightened up the system very, very much so that you can't just enter into, especially pump station, because if you sabotage your pump station, your whole system is broken.
Now, this partnerships, is the partnership with the UUW, Amgeni Waterworks, delivering value for money? The mayor praises it, but what are the specific measurable outcomes that justify the over 1 billion rand investment? Are we getting a better service than if the municipality itself managed it?
Morana, that 1 billion we're talking about, that is international foreign money that is coming into our, and I was like shocked in the last week. A lot of Saudi money is coming into our province here at the moment, and I don't know for what reason. Saudi is investing big time in, especially at our harbor and many other places as well. But the question now is, how are we going to maintain and how we are going to sort this issue out? Now, first and foremost, we have to. This partnership can only work if both partners work together. The problem is, firstly, the city is owing the Tugela water services a lot of money. So what they did was, they went with a proposal to them. They said, you know what, we will bring in investment. And you can see in the last 1 month, you saw the city manager, the mayor, all over the world, trying and bring in investment. And he brought in some good investment, there's no doubt about it. But partnership can only work when both parties are willing to work. Now, yeah, city is telling them, you write off my old debt, I'm going to bring in investment. So based on that, they have did a deal. They say, okay, fine. Portion of it is going to be written off, providing you're going to bring investment to upgrade our system. So if we give proper support to Tugela, it will make it very easy for us to get the water into our system. That's the partnership is all about, Morana.
I say, we have now come to the end of our time. It's already 8:30. But inshallah, we will continue with our discussion next week. Once again, Jazakallah, Khair al Jaza. You know, for the valuable contribution that you, or the valuable information that you share with our listeners. May Allahu Azza wa Jalla reward you in this world and the Akhirah for your time and your information. We will, inshallah, talk again next week. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
دنيا کے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے لے کر رہا ہے جو تو دو دن کا یہ سفر ہے
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.